For the privilege once again for ministering to you, and I never expected that I was going to preach today. But thank God, we believe that there is no accident, and we thank God for this opportunity. Well, I won't keep you long. I just want to share to you some things about the Bible. And as the year ends, the preacher told us a while ago that we can always look back at this year, look back at the past, and see how God blessed us so much, right? So I want to invite you tonight, and if you would turn with me in Joshua, the book of Joshua, please bear with me. My English is very limited, and I hope, and I know we will be finished in a bit, but Joshua chapter 11, verse number 23, if you are already there, please say amen, and can I invite you to stand with me as we read God's word? Joshua chapter 11, verse 23, the Bible says, "So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war." Can I invite you to a prayer? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the liberty to preach your word and to hear your word. Lord, we pray that you please give us something tonight, and touch each and every heart tonight. May your Holy Spirit move in our midst. Give me wisdom, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you. And I just want to share to you, and this message is entitled, "A Faithful God." A Faithful God. Isn't it amazing that we have a faithful God? Amen. I just want to read it once again. "So Joshua took the whole land." And if you will notice, the Bible says, "according to all that the Lord said unto Moses." So the reason why here Joshua, in this time, they already took the promised land that God has promised them. They already took the land because God, in the first place, promised to give them that land. Amen. So it's according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. So, I tried to search about the word faithful, and it is best defined as truth, or it is best defined as truth to your promises. So, we can see how faithful God is by the measure of His promises. And we all know, as the preacher told us a while ago, there's a lot of promises that God promised us. But can I invite you to Exodus, to open with me in Exodus chapter 3 and see the first time God promised them that He will give them a good land. In Exodus chapter 3, verse number 7, and the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land, unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites." So this is the account where the first promise of God for the children of Israel, that He will bring them to a land that floweth with milk and honey. And as we see in this passage, they already took the land because God is faithful. Amen. Are we all happy that God is faithful? Amen. And can I tell you something? that the same God that they are worshiping, that they are believing in this time, is the same God that we are still learning. Amen. We have a faithful God. Amen. A faithful God. And we will see some of His promises. I believe that they will not be able to conquer the land if it were not a faith of a faithful God. Number one, the faithful God protected them.
Amen.
If you will look on Exodus chapter number chapter 12 or 13, I should say. Exodus, I'm sorry. I'm kind of nervous really. So, in Exodus chapter 14, verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them, after they went out of Egypt, and they were, as they were crossing the Red Sea, the Egyptians were chasing them. But God protected them, and in verse number 24, and it came to pass in the morning, watch the Lord look unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Isn't it wonderful that God protected His people? And until now, I believe that each and every one of us have our own story how God protected us throughout this year. There was a missionary in New Hebrides Islands. His name is Missionary John Patton. I don't know if you all know about his story. But there came one time in his life that the place in New Hebrides Islands, the people there are cannibals. And one time, they are in the middle of the night, just him and his wife. These people are going to get them. They are going to kill them. And this missionary, John Patton, and his wife, they prayed to God, Lord, please deliver us, protect us. Maybe they are hearing the sounds or the screams of the people that are about to kill them. But they were amazed. In the morning, they woke up and they found no men. Those people that they're hearing, those people screaming, wanting to kill them, were gone. After a year later, the chief of that tribe got saved. And then this missionary asked the chief, I remember there was a night that you're about to kill us, but we are amazed that you were already gone. And then this chief replied and asked the preacher, who are those men surrounding your house? They're like shining men. They are surrounding your house and about to take on a battle. And then this missionary, John Patton, realized that it was God.
Amen.
Who moved. Amen? I don't know what are your experiences, but indeed, we will cross this new year, we will cross this year again. It's because God is faithful, and He is faithful that He will protect us. The second thing is, He provided for them. God is faithful that He will provide their need. The moment that He told them, okay, I will bring you to a land that floweth with milk and honey, it is already included in that promise, the promise of His provision. Why? He knows that when these people will go on a travel, they will be hungry. And my friends, can I tell you, Those times, if they will travel, they will just travel by foot. And they have no four wheels to drive. But God is faithful. The moment you started walking just about a half a mile, maybe, or a mile, the first thing you will feel is you will feel thirsty. But when these Israelites felt thirsty, God gave them water out of the desert. And the second thing is, they felt hungry, and God gave them another meal. Where in the world you can find people who will just wait manna that will came down from heaven? It's God.
Amen?
Amen. God still provides. Amen. If He does on the past, I believe He is and He will be still providing today. I have an experience one time in my church, in my ministry, where we will be having a missions conference. And these people were my Bible studies. I led them, I teach them how to sing, and I teach them a song in our native language, but it is translated, "The Faithfulness of God," the faithful God. We've been practicing this for quite some time, about a month, maybe 3 months ahead of our missions conference. And there came a heavy rain. About a week before that event, a missions conference, there came a heavy rain. And you know Manila, it was a very flooding city. So there was a flood in their village. And they got discouraged because their village is flooded. And they told me, "Preacher, we already washed our clothes 3 times. But the mud, the grease is still there. We can't wash these clothes anymore. We don't have anything to wear for that missions conference. We will not go." But we keep on practicing. The faithful God. Days after that, still no. They said, "No, we're not going." And if you as a preacher, you see your men, your people that has a need, but you were not able to help them because I'm not rich. I could only pray for them. And then the day comes. A day after that missions conference, still no. They don't want to go anymore. All our labors, all our practicing will be wasted. Saturday morning comes. I went to their place. And I was amazed that, I was surprised that no one is in there. And I thought they are already scared of me. And I thought they were hiding. All of them were hiding because I kept on challenging them, "Please go." A boy came to me. And I asked him, "Where is your parents? Where are your parents, all of the people here?" And they point me at the back. And I see people coming to me. And they were happy. You know why? In that day, they've been given new clothes to wear in the missions conference that evening. It's God who will provide. We don't have anything but God. And I know you have a story, God has been so faithful to your life that He provided your need. God is faithful. Amen? He didn't only provided them, He also have His presence in them. So, the moment God promised them that He will give them that land, His presence is with them. His presence. Without God's presence in our lives, we are nothing.
Amen.
We can't do anything without God.
Right.
But thank God, His word says, for without God, nothing is impossible. I will end this message in Joshua chapter 11. This is one of my favorite story in the Bible. The moment they conquered the land. You see, it's almost amazing. It's hard to comprehend how this about 2 million Jews could conquer the land. Why? Because of the enemies that they will face. Remember in Numbers when they sent those spies? Those spies were scared because all the people that they will face are giants. And also in Joshua chapter 11, we will see these enemies in verse 4. And they went out and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots very many. You see, it's almost impossible for them to face these enemies. But then in verse 8, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel. That's the amazing thing. If you have the presence of God with you, you will have the prosperity. So it's God. In verse number 12, verse number 23, so Joshua took the whole land. Joshua took the whole land because it's God who has been faithful in their lives, who protected them, who provided for them, whose presence is with them. And because of that, He gave them the prosperity. Thank you and God bless.
Bible in Mark chapter 10. Are you still there? Say amen.
Amen.
The Lord has been faithful unto us. Amen. In 2015, if we will remember all those things, one day is not enough to thank God for. Mark chapter 10, and I will just share this to you. The one thing, this phrase, these two words have been mentioned in the Bible. One thing thou lackest, one thing is needful, one thing I know, and one thing I do. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful opportunity. Lord, bless your word. We're nothing, Lord, and may speak freely to everyone's heart. If there's somebody here, Lord, that's not yet saved, Lord, please, Lord God, may speak to them and may this be the night of their salvation, the day of their salvation. Thank you so much, Lord, for being faithful to us. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord God. Hide me behind thy cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Bible says in verse 17 of Mark chapter 10, in verse 17, can we still stand up for the giving reverence of the Lord of God, for the word of God? Are you still there? Say aloud amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for the three persons. Oh, I'm just kidding. Verse 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And in verse 20, and he answered and said unto him, master, all this have I observed from my youth. And in verse 21, the Bible says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You may be seated. One thing that we're going to see here. Number one, one thing thou lackest. There's a man, there's a rich young man, a ruler of the Jews. He is the administrator. He has a position in the community. But you know what? He has a lot of money. But one day he came running and knelt to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" The Lord said, and Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? For there is none good but one, and that is God." Jesus may be thinking of this man. Salvation is not about us. Salvation is about God. Salvation, we cannot save ourselves. If you are our visitor this night, you cannot save yourself. You need Jesus. Amen. You need Jesus. Man cannot do it. Man cannot save himself. It's like, Lord, what? He said in verse 20, the Lord said, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And this man answered, "Lord, I observed that from my youth." It's like he's saying, what else must I do to be saved? What else must I do, Lord? I think, I'm not really sure. What else must I do to be saved? If this is the wrong concept of salvation. You know, many people right now in hell, maybe some people already shared them the Lord Jesus Christ, but because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they are now in hell right now. Please, my friends, don't reject Jesus Christ. Don't reject Jesus Christ. This man thought that he was good. This man thought that, it's like, Lord, I already observed the commandments. Lord, but according to the standard of God, man, there is none good, no, not one. Only God. Amen. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." If you're not yet saved today, please, the Lord's knocking in your heart. You need Jesus in your heart. You need Jesus in your life. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. You know what? The sad thing here is in verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, love him, amen? Love this person and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest." One thing thou lackest. You know, instead this man went home. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Sell thy possessions. Give it to the poor." Because the Lord Jesus Christ knows that this man loves money. This man loves riches. And he cannot give it up to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? This in verse 22, he was so sad at that saying and went away grieving. You know what? Instead of saying, "Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, can you please save me? Lord, I need you, Lord." But you know what? This man went home. Went home very sad. One thing he lacketh, and that is salvation. One thing he lacketh, and that is salvation. Are you saved tonight? Are you sure 100%? If you will die today, tonight, we don't know our life. Life is short. But are you sure if you're going to die this moment, are you going to heaven? If you're not yet sure, I just want to invite you. I have a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born in a manger, died on the cross, has been buried, rose again, ascended to heaven, and he will come back very, very soon. You know what? This man is very sad because he has money, but his life is still empty because he doesn't have the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you still there? Amen. Amen. Number two, one thing is needful. Let's open our Bible in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38 to 42. This is the story of Martha and Mary. One thing is needful. There is another occasion for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the verse 38, now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Wow, what a privilege. If the Lord Jesus Christ will come into your house, oh my, it's a great privilege. But it happens in the house of this young woman, this woman, Martha. And she had a sister called what? Who? Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. In verse 42, but one thing is
needful.
And Mary had chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. One thing thou lackest, and one thing is needful. What a privilege. If the Lord Jesus Christ will come into your house, what will you do? But this Martha, she was troubled a lot of many things. She prepared a table, maybe the utensils, because Jesus was going to eat. But Mary had chosen the good thing. You know what? Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, what is what I want to drive to you? What is what I want to deal with you is this, what the Lord wants us to learn. One thing is needful, and that is communication. Are you still communicating with him? You know, this Martha, she missed Jesus. She missed a wonderful privilege to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? Mary done the good thing. The preacher, I've heard a preaching, there's a two things that will remain in the heaven. People and Bible. You know what? Do you still spend your time here? Do you still kneel down and pray and said, Lord? Do you still praying for an hour or I don't know? But are you still communicating with him? One thing is needful right now. You know what? Why we are so tired sometimes? Why we're getting cold in our spiritual life? You know what? Because we forgot what is the most important thing. We're so much troubled, a lot of things in this world. We're so much troubled, a lot of how can we eat and how can provide our needs. But I just want to say this to you, we have a good provider. We have a provider, and that is the Lord. And that is God. We have God in our lives that will provide our needs. You know what? Mary chose the thing that would not be taken away from her. And that is listening to the word at the feet of Jesus. Communication with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't miss him, my friend. Hey, young people, don't miss the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a plan in your life. Young people, God has a plan in your life. Don't miss him. Don't miss him. There will come another year. If you read already the Bible for a whole year, make it twice for this year. Amen? Make it twice. Go for an extra mile. Number three, one thing I know. John chapter 9, verse 25. Are you still there? Say amen.
Amen.
John chapter 9, verse 25. It is the story about the blind man who is blind for all of his lifetime. But one day, the Lord Jesus Christ passed by. Amen. And then took some dirt, put it in his eyes, and said, go to the pool of Siloam. And you know what the Bible says? He said in verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, because many people are questioning, the Jews are questioning him, the Pharisees questioning him, they are against to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, amen, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, but now I see. What a wonderful transformation, amen. God transformed us. Before we're blind because of sin, but the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, passed by. The Lord Jesus Christ saved you. He saved you. And now we have a transformed life. The Lord, we are in the process of changing through the using the Word of God. And we just only one, we have just only one focus, to be like Him.
Amen.
One thing I know, are you glad you're saved?
Amen.
But how about the others? How about the others? How about the other people? How about your neighbors? How about your grandchildren? How about your brothers and sisters? Oh man, maybe this year we just don't, we're not going just to sit down. We're going to spread the word.
Amen.
And spread that. Oh, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. What a big transformation. You see, this blind man is blind for all of his life, but the Lord Jesus Christ make him to see again. And the last, one thing I do. Let's open our Bible in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul wrote this. And you know what? This year, what we're gonna see here is one thing I do is continuation. Salvation, communication, transformation, and continuation. You know, until we still have breath, we need to continue on. I just want to encourage you tonight, in 8,000 miles away, there's a work of the Lord there, and there's no reason to stop serving the Lord. Oh my, please people, don't stop. Don't stop serving the Lord. One thing, if you failed last year, get up and ask for God's grace and said, Lord, please help me, Lord. Without you, I cannot have a victory. I cannot do this, Lord. But you know, thank God because He always gives us a victory. Yeah. You know what? The good thing. Forget about the failures. Forget those things. Forget those heartaches, those hurt. Forget those achievements. You know, this Paul, he achieved a lot. But he still wants to reach forth those things that he can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing you will never forget is, the good thing is, remember, we should remember what the Lord has done in our lives.
Amen.
And then, that's our encouragement, that's our motivation to keep on going. I thank the Lord because on that cross, he didn't stop. What if the Lord stopped? What if the Lord stopped? Maybe we're not here. But he didn't stop.
Amen.
My friends, don't stop serving the Lord. Keep on keeping on. Amen. Keep on serving the Lord. There's no reason to stop. The Lord has been good to us. There's no reason to stop. You know, it breaks my heart last night. Just wanted to tell this story and I will end. There's one lady. She's in the Philippines. She is the member of our church, on my dad's church. She's already 80 years old. And she has, I think, 57 great grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. But you know what? when they have us like this a year-end service in the Philippines, I'm on Skype listening to the service, and we have a chance to talk to each other. That lady cried and said, "Lord," and said, "Brother Michael, I'm still keep going, Brother Michael." She's crying. She's crying. And I'm crying too. I'm still keep going. You know why? Because I still have a lot of unsaved loved ones. My great grandchildren, my children still not saved. If I will stop, how about them? Don't stop, my friends. Preacher, don't stop serving the Lord. Keep on keeping on. Till the last breath of our life, we will serve our God and Savior. Amen? Let us pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this night. We thank you, Lord God, for being good, Lord God, for being good to us for the whole year. And Lord, we're thanking you because you're an unchanging God. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Lord, I pray, Lord, for your blessings to this church. May this church, Lord God, be a shining light of testimony, Lord God, for your name. And Lord, may you help the pastor. And may you help the pastor's family, Lord God. May you bless every family in this church. Thank you so much, Lord. We give you back all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.